So our scripture this morning is from the 29th chapter of Genesis. Last we saw Jacob, he was on the run. He had then come to a place where he was had a dream. You remember, fondly called Jacob's Ladder to some. And we pick him up just after that. And Jacob continued his journey and went to the land of the Easterners. And he looked, and behold, there was a well in the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying beside it, for out of that well the flocks were watered. And the stone on the mouth of the well was large. And when all the flocks were gathered there, they rolled away the stone from the mouth of the well, and they watered the sheep and returned the stone upon the mouth of the well to its place. And Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." And he said to them, "Do you know Laban, son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." And he said to them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. Now look, Rachel's daughter is coming with the sheep." And he said, "Look, it is still broad daylight. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered. Give water to the sheep and go pasture them." And they said, "We are not able until all the flocks are gathered. Then the stone is rolled away from the mouth of the well, and we water the sheep." While he was speaking with them, Rachel came with the sheep, which belonged to her father, for she was pasturing them. And it happened that when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob drew near and rolled away the stone from the mouth of the well and watered the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was the relative of her father and that he was the son of Rebekah. And she ran and told her father, and it happened that when Laban heard the message about Jacob, the son of his sister, he ran to meet him, and he embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my flesh and my bone." And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Just because you are my brother, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wage should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Now the eyes of Leah were soft, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." Then Laban said, "Better that I give her to you than I give her to another man. Stay with me." And Jacob worked for Rachel 7 years, but they were as a few days in his eyes because he loved her. Here ends our reading from Scripture this morning. May the church be blessed in its hearing. And now will you pray with me, please? Holy God, we give you thanks today for this opportunity to hear and meditate upon your word. I only ask, O God, that you would make it heard in ways that I cannot. Amen. So Jacob continues on his journey. Now he's been given some confidence by his dream at Bethel. His foot is now lighter, but we cannot lose sight of his predicament. A generation ago, Abraham had sent his servant Eliezer on this same trip to Padamaram to find a wife for Isaac, Jacob's father. Eliezer had gone with a large caravan loaded with supplies and gifts of gold. 10 loaded camels had taken Eliezer to Padamaram to find a wife for Isaac. Ostensibly, Jacob is on the same errand to find a wife. But in truth, he left in a hurry because he had to get out of town. He had cheated his brother and deceived his father, and Jacob was fleeing for his life, not just for a wife. So the journey was very different for Jacob. on foot and alone, he traversed over 500 miles. There you go. It was through hill country, the wilderness of Palestine, the desolate mountains of Syria. It was a forbidding expedition. The sun was searing and the country arid. Snakes and scorpions crawled in the undergrowth. Wells and springs were infrequent. Food was hard to come by. It was his brother Esau, after all, who was the hunter, not Jacob. Modern-day recommendations suggest that hikers plan walking about 7.5 miles a day in Israel. At that rate, without even counting having to find food and water, it would have taken Jacob well over 2 grueling months to go from Beersheba to Padan Aram. But he made it. Today we join him as he arrives. Jacob comes to the same well at which Eliezer had found his mother Rebekah. And something as old as the hills and as modern as today happens. Romance. Jacob falls head over heels for the shepherdess Rachel, his love at first sight. It's a great story, too, and it's best told from the beginning. Jacob has followed a course, now guided by the sun and the stars, but he doesn't know exactly where he is. He approaches a well. It's covered with a huge stone. Around the well, several shepherds are whiling away their time. Jacob approaches them and strikes up a conversation. "My brothers, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." Now this is good news indeed. Jacob has walked 2 months without a map or a GPS, and he's arrived where he was supposed to. And he said to the shepherds, "Do you know Laban, son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." And he said to them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well." And then they said, "Now look, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with sheep." And Rachel is tending her father's sheep. Laban, her father, has 2 daughters and no sons. So Rachel inherits duties normally reserved for the young men of the family. Jacob lifts his eyes and sees Rachel for the very first time. And immediately he is smitten. And he wants the other men, you don't quite get this if you read the scripture too fast. He wants the other men to get out of there so he can put the moves on her, so to speak. He says, "Look, it's still broad daylight. It's not time for the livestock to be gathered for the night. Give water to the sheep and go and pasture them." In other words, what's wrong with you slackers? It's the middle of the day. It's not time to be sitting around and gathering the sheep as though it's evening. Water your sheep and get out of here. Jacob's desire to get the men out of the way backfires, though. They take offense at his implication that they are lazy. They say, "We are not able until the flocks are gathered. Then the stone is rolled away from the mouth of the well and the water comes for the sheep." Shepherds argue that they have to gather everyone at the well because the stone cover is heavy and requires all the men to remove it. Jacob wants them to leave, but he has inadvertently engaged them in a longer conversation. But Jacob's fervor is not to be deterred. As soon as Rachel approaches the well, Jacob races to the stone, lifts it away all by himself, waters her sheep. Wow, talk about adrenaline. Rachel would have been impressed by Jacob's strength, and even more by his giving a woman shepherd preference for the water, something the shepherds of the day were not known for. But if she is surprised by Jacob so far, what came next must have shocked her. Jacob took hold of Rachel, kissed her, and broke into tears. All this before Jacob and Rachel have even exchanged a word with each other. Now, luckily for Jacob, Rachel does not call the police. Indeed, she went and told her father about Jacob, and Laban came and welcomed him. Now, Jacob stays for a month helping around the place. But then it comes time for a decision. Jacob would leave soon, or some more permanent arrangement would be needed. Laban broaches the subject. "Just because you are my brother, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wage should be." Now, after Jacob's first encounter with Rachel, we can presume that he has been the perfect gentleman, but his ardor has not diminished. Jacob said, "I will serve you for 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And so the deal is sealed. But look closely. Jacob must work 7 years before he gets to marry Rachel. Wow. Now, in Arab societies, even to this day, the husband pays for the whole wedding. So those of you who have daughters may want to move over there for the wedding. And here we see again the impact of Jacob's financial state. He has nothing to pay the bride price except for his time. Thus the text says, Jacob worked for Rachel for 7 years. He worked for Rachel. He worked to earn the bride price. But here's the part I love. Jacob worked for Rachel 7 years. But they were as few days in his eyes, but as a few days in his eyes, because he loved her. Talk about patience and delayed gratification. I love this story, and who can resist a romance? The thrill of true love. And for now, the story settles into a soft and calm place. Jacob and Rachel are betrothed. Jacob is working for Laban, who is glad to have another male around the place. As with all euphoric moments, we can guess that things will become more complicated and difficult once again for Jacob. We won't have to wait long. But what is also true is that Rachel, the love of his life, will be his soulmate throughout. Ultimately, she will bear him 2 sons, the first Joseph, who figures so prominently in the rest of the story, and then Benjamin. Rachel will die in bearing her 2nd son, and Jacob's heart will break. There are many more stories yet to tell about this family, and we'll hear many of them, but they will always bear the mark of the love between Jacob and Rachel. Now, there is something profound in this story and about relationship, a love, the kind of love that puts a mark on one's life. And the luckiest of us may have several such people in our lives, a spouse, an aunt or an uncle, or a grandparent, a teacher, or a friend. None of us is an island. We are creatures of the ties that bind. And so now, I thought it would be a good time to ask you if you would tell me some of the stories about the ties that bind.